Sefer Dvarim is Moshe's farewell speeches to Bnei Israel on the eve of their entering the land at the end of 40 years in the desert. The first part of Sefer Dvarim is an extended speech where he recounts a selective history of all the things that have occurred to them since leaving Egypt. And one of the things that we can do when learning the first part of this speech, when learning Parashat Dvarim, is to examine how the story as recounted by Moshe in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim compares to the original account often in Sefer Bamidbar, or some of them are in Sefer Shemot. In this week's podcast, I'm going to talk about the story of the Meraglim, the story of the spies, and compare the story as recorded by Moshe, or as recounted by Moshe in the beginning of Dvarim, to that which is recorded in Sefer Bamidbar, where it's the original story occurred. And as we're going to see, there are significant differences between how Moshe tells the story 40 years or 39 years later to the way it's recorded originally. And we need to address what is the reason that the differences are so, what is the reason that the differences are there, and what is Moshe trying to achieve in telling the story in this different manner. So let's quickly recount what we remember from the story in Bamidbar. The story in Bamidbar begins with Shlach Lecha Anashim V'yaturu et Eretz Kenan. So God says to Moshe, send for yourself people, and they should, yaturu is the word in Hebrew, they should scout, they should tour. It's an unusual word. It's not usually the word you would use for spies. They should tour through the land of Canaan. And of course, those spies are, or those people doing this mission, are 12 Nisi'im. They're 12 princes of each one representing one Shevet. And there, the mission given to them is indeed to tour the land or to scout out the land. Their mission is first of all, ראיתם את הארץ מהי ואת העם היושב עליה, החזק הוא הרבה מהתנועה. Like, check out the land, and the people sitting there, are they strong or are they weak? And it's like a sort of a military kind of investigation. And further, ומה הארץ אשר הוא יושב בה, הטובה היא אם רעה. Right? And what about the land? Is it good land or is it bad land? Further, שמיניים, רזה, is it fertile, is it infertile, and then bring back fruits of the land. And of course the people go, the spies go, and they investigate the land, and they come back after 40 days, and their response is that on the one hand, Tova Haaretz Me'od Me'od, on the one hand, the land is wonderful, but we can't conquer it because the people who live there are, I don't know what they say famously, Efes ki az ha'am, right? The land is, the people are very powerful, and the cities are very well fortified. And we even saw children of the giant there, and basically, they give us an account of the land where, despite its attraction as a fruitful place, it's not really available because the people who live there are too strong, and despite Kalev, particularly his objections, they say, we cannot go up against the nations of the land because they are stronger than us. And of course, that gives rise to the people's rebellion, and they're saying that, why did you take us out of Egypt? We're going to all die here in the desert, and or better that we should have died in the desert. And Moshe and Aharon's response is, to fall on their faces, in despite Joshua and Caleb's attempt to resist and to say, no, we can do it, the people despair, and God is very angry and very upset. And in response to God's response in anger, Moshe prays to save them from being destroyed at that moment. And ultimately, as everybody knows, the punishment given to the people for their lack of faith or for their unwillingness to trust in God, that he can take them into the land, is that the whole generation is condemned to die in the desert. And the 10 spies who had brought back this report, and the expression of Leotzil, Dibat Ta'aretz Ra'ah, that they offered a negative or a bad account of the land, they are going to die immediately. And they are sort of the bad guys of this story. They're the ones who we blame for the disaster that took place. The story in Dvarim, as we're going to see in a moment, is quite different. The story in Dvarim begins, if we look closely, where in the very Perek Aleph, where Moshe describes their travels, V'nisami chorev v'nenetz et kol ha'mibar gadol ha'manora hu sher yiten derech ha'em ovri kasher tziva Hashem Elokeinu ta'anu v'navo ad kadesh v'anem. We walked through this terrible desert, and we got eventually to Kadesh Barnea, and then, instead of it being God telling Moshe, V'omar aleichem batem ad hara ha'emori Hashem Elokeinu אשר השם הלוקח נותן לנו, ואין נתן השם לפניך את הארץ, עלי רש. Right? There's no commandment from God to send spies. Rather, Moshe says, immediately, now it's time to go up and to conquer the land. And the initiative to send the spies comes from the people, but יקרבו אליי כולכם, ותאמרו נשלחה אנשים לפנינו, ויחברו לנו את הארץ. And the people come and say, let's send people before us. And they will investigate. It's not the same word, right? The word in Bamidbar was Yaturu et Aret. Here it's Vayachberu et Aret. Vayashivu otanu davar et aderech asher na'aleh ba ve et arim asher na'avo eilehem. And they will return with information, the right way to go, and the cities that we should come against them. In other words, the mission as described here in Dvarim is quite different, or at least it's only described here as in a way which is partial. In Bamidbar, the mission was twofold. The mission was to check out the land and to evaluate its quality, if you like, and also to investigate whether or not the land was conquerable, or what's the status of the people there, how strong are they. Well, here it seems to be straightforward, a military scouting mission. Both the word used, lachfor, Lachpor is to also mean to dig, but it means to investigate. And the subject of the investigation is exactly what route to take. It's a tactical mission. There's no mention here at all of the fact that the people sent were representatives of the tribes. It was a whole thing. Here it's tactically the people suggest to Moshe, let's send spies up first. And they'll tell us the way ready to go. So indeed, the Moshe continues. They went up. They went up to the highlands of Eretz Yisrael. Came to Nachal Eshkol. But there's no description of the sort of extensive touring of the land for 40 days. It's very limited. And they took back fruit to the land. We saw that also in the Midbar. And they reported back that the land is very good. There's no mention whatsoever in Moshe's account of the spies' negative report or of anything that the spies did that was wrong. It's the spies came back with a report that the land is very good. And then in Moshe's account, instead of the spies sort of leading the rebellion or leading the despair, it's Vatabru et pi Hashem Elokeichem, you rebelled against God, Vateragnu bo aleichem, ותאמרו בשנאת השם אותנו אותנו בארץ מצרים לתת לנו אותנו ביד האמורי להשמידי. And God's hatred for us, he's given us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Then of course there's an elaboration, but the focus here is on the people. Elaboration which says that the spies are the ones who essentially brought back a report which has made us despair, but the focus here is not on the spies so much, but on the people who essentially despaired instantly upon hearing the spies' report. What's absent then, of course, is the whole exchange in Moshe's account, right? Is the whole exchange between Moshe and God, where Moshe prays to save the people from immediate destruction, and we skip potentially to the end, where God says, "Vayishma Hashem et kol divrachem vayitzof vayishma limor." אם יראה איש ואנשים האלה הדור הרע הזה את הארץ הטובה אשר נשבעת לתת לאבותיכם. Right, so God, Moshe explains how God took an oath that none of the people from this generation will see the land that I promised to their forefathers, except for, of course, Caleb, because he, of course, was loyal. And then Moshe adds a little detail which is very striking. In the story in Bamidbar, Moshe, of course, is not included in the Gzerah, in the decree that that whole generation must die in the desert. Moshe is condemned to not enter the land much later in Parashat Chukat, where we, in the story of Meir Meriva. But here in Merim, he adds, Gam bi hitana Hashem bigalchem. Also, towards me, God was very angry, and towards me, and I was also condemned to not enter the land at this point. And Yoshua is going to enter the land in my place. He's going to lead the land, he's going to lead the people in the conquest of the land. And your children, who you said were going to be Lavazia, they're going to be prisoners, they're going to be taken to capture, they're the ones who are going to enter the land and take possession of it. That's the story of the sin as described in Varim. Now, just to recap exactly what those differences were, let's just mention some of them. First is who initiates. In Bamidbar, we saw that God initiates. He says, Shlach lecha anashim. And in Varim, we saw that the people initiate, and Moshe is essentially following their lead in sending the people. In Bamidbar, we saw the people listed were Nisi'im, the Rosh Hashanah of Israel, they're important people, they're representatives of the people. While in Varim, we don't have any names of them at all, and we don't even mention that they're significant people, they're just the spies. In Bamidbar, the way this mission is described is Latur et Aret, to tour or to scout the land. It's a much broader mission. It's a mission which includes both, if you like, a military element and a investigation of the quality of the land element. While in Dvarim, it's vayachperu et haaretz, it's to investigate the land. It's much more of a militarily focused description. I think even beyond the difference between military versus evaluation, I think in general, if we look in Bamidbar, the description is much more, should we go to the land? Well, in Varim, it's obvious we're going to the land. The only question is, what's the route that we should take? In Bamidbar, also, the scope is much broader. They, you know, they investigate the whole land. In Varim, we only mentioned the southern part of the land. And finally, the main focus in Bamidbar is on the spies themselves. And they're the people who sort of lead the rebellion. They're the people who say, we can't do this. While in Varim, we only talk about the people being chotim, the presence and the significance of the individuals who went to the land is much more muted. And finally, the person who sort of interacts with the people and argues against this. In Bamidbar, it's Caleb and Yoshua, while Moshe and Aaron simply fall on their faces. While in Dvarim, it's Moshe himself speaking to the people about you can't do this. This is not the right way to do it. And that's basically a quick summary of the difference. Now the question is, of course, is what do we make of these differences? Because how do we explain how Moshe, 40 years on, is describing things in a way which is so so different? A lot of the Mepharshim address these questions. I don't really have time to go into all the various nuances. I want to sketch out for you just a quick approach to how to think about this. And I think this is probably an approach that we can use in general in thinking about the retelling of the history in Sefer Dvarim and how it differs from the history in Sefer Bamidbar or in Sefer Shmot. Sefer Bamidbar is, of course, the first-hand account, the account, so to speak, from the outside, right? You know, the narrator there is anonymous. The Torah doesn't tell us who the narrator is, and it's God's is a character. God speaks to Moshe. Moshe is a character. In Sefer Dvarim, the narrator is Moshe himself. And it's even in the first person, right? Moshe is describing things in the first person. And this is what happened, and that's what happened. And then I said. That, I think, is key. And the question here is what are Moshe's goals in giving this speech? This is a speech. It's a series of speeches. What are Moshe's goals in giving this speech? And who is Moshe's audience? In the story in Bamidbar, there's obviously an audience, and the audience is, of course, everyone, right? It's the reader. The audience is not the people themselves. In Dvarim, this is a complicated situation that the audience is both us, the readers, you know, all the generations of the Jewish people who are going to read this in the future, but particularly the people hearing Moshe's speech, the people of the generation who are going to enter the land. Now, the story of Bamidbar is very much focused on the fact that the spies are sent as representatives of the people. They're sent to evaluate the land, and in a certain sense, they're sent by Moshe, indeed, but they're sent by the people in order to ask the question, what do we do next? They're representatives. Well, in Dvarim, we have no hint of that. In Dvarim, Moshe is fully in control. He sends them. At the same time, the account in Bamidbar and the account in Dvarim are pulling in the opposite direction, in that the account in Bamidbar, God says, Shlach Lecha Anashim. God actually initiates this whole thing, although it's possible, as Rashi argues, that the initiation comes from the people. That's why it says, Shlach Lecha, send for yourself. That certainly makes a lot of sense from that expression. But nevertheless, God puts his imprint on the whole endeavor, and we don't see that in Dvarim at all. God isn't involved in the endeavor. In fact, the whole story begins after Moshe says, Aleresh, go up, conquer, don't delay, and the people sort of ask for a delay. It seems to be that the perspective of the Sefer Bamidbar, the perspective of the story of Bamidbar, is that God wants to get the people on board. He says, go send a group of people. And he's giving them an opportunity to sort of like join into the mission of conquering the land from your own perspective. Don't just send regular spies. Send representatives. And they need to come back with a report and encourage the people and understand what exactly is going on. That's why it was such a betrayal. God turns to the leadership of the people and asks them to essentially help him lead the people into the land. And the spies, instead of helping God lead the people into the land, turn their back on God and say, well, no, we can't do this. the people there are just too strong. We can't do this. It's a total betrayal of trust. In Sefer Dvarim, we don't have almost anything about the spies and their identity because Moshe is not interested in the spies themselves. He's interested in this generation who are going to go into the land. And he wants to focus on the failings of the people of the previous generation, who their fathers and mothers, and the people who of the previous generation, because he wants them to understand, the people who are his listeners, that there is a failing here of the people as a whole, and they can't just blame it on the spies. The failure of the people as a whole is that whether or not the spies led them astray, is that they didn't have faith in God that they could conquer the land. And they, as a people, betrayed their trust. And this new generation needs to understand that if you don't trust in God, nothing will work. For that reason, also, to a large extent, Caleb and Yehoshua are elided from this story, because it's not important. The Caleb and Yehoshua were two of the representatives. They were two of the spies, two of the Nisi'im who went out. But we're not interested in Dvarim, in the spies as representatives and that. We want to turn the entire focus onto the people themselves. So therefore, it's the people facing Moshe rather than the people facing the spies, with Moshe sort of being in the middle. I think this also accounts for why Moshe says here, "Gab bi hitanach Hashem biglalchem," right? In other words, that also God was angry with me because of you, and you can't go into land because of Chet HaMeraglim. Right? Moshe is explaining to them that the failure of the people at the Meraglim was his failure, because he didn't manage to pull the people away from the spies and to pull the people in the right direction into a kind of into faith in God so that they can enter into the land. And therefore, he has to bear the price. As a member of that generation, he has to bear the price. Now, it could be that the reasons, the Barbanel, in fact, says that already from the time of the Meraglim, Moshe wasn't going to be able to enter the land, despite the story in Chukat about Menir Riva. But it could be that it was a combination of factors that prevented Moshe from entering into the land. I spoke about that a little bit when I gave a podcast about Parashat Chukat. But the fact of the matter is that here, in our understanding of what is going on here, why is Moshe bringing this story, of all the stories in the Torah that Moshe chooses to recount at the beginning of his speech, he chose this one because this is the story which brought them to this point. The reason why they're sitting now on the borders of Eretz Canaan and ready to enter the land is because the previous generation failed. And Moshe is asserting that I also am a member of that generation. But you people who are the following generation, you need to understand that as a whole, you need to take responsibility. You need to go up into the land with the sense that you are going into the land as servants of God, and you are going to conquer it only as servants of God. That is what we're trying to do, is what we're trying to encourage the people. We're going to see later on in Sefer Yehoshua that this sort of theme is going to come up again. This is going to be a problem throughout. Do people trust in God that they can actually do this crazy thing of entering a totally new land, which is very well established, and taking it over? That's going to be the problem later on, but now at the very beginning of the story, Moshe wants to emphasize that if you lose faith, then everything else will fall apart, and remember what happened the previous time, and therefore he focuses only on the people and not on any of the other factors that went into the story in its original account. So very, very briefly, I want to sum up here that the difference, or the central difference between the story in Bamidbar and the story in Dvarim, is the focus on who's significant in the story. In Sefer Bamidbar, the focus is very largely on the spies themselves. And the spies' job, despite his double job of evaluating the land as representatives of the people and of figuring out something about the sort of military conquest, as opposed to in Sepharvaim, where the role of the spies is submerged more, and the central focus is on the people and their sin. In the original account, we get sort of the fuller story because we're interested in understanding how did the people who had left Egypt and led by God, how did they fall into this terrible place where they lose their faith in God. In Sefer Devarim, the focus is forward-looking. How do we ensure that people understand how important this is, that they take responsibility for what they do? So therefore, we focus on the people's failure and not so much on the spies. Shabbat Shalom.